Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
We'll chant together text 2072. Canto 4, Chapter 8.
Tri ratrante, tri ratrante.
Tri ratrante, tri ratrante.
Kapita badara shanaha.
Kapita badara
shanaha. Atma vrityanusarena. Masam nin yarchayan harim.
Masam nin yarchayan
harim. Triratrante, triratrante.
Triratrante, triratrante.
Kapita badarashanaha.
Kapita badarashanaha.
Atma vrityanusarena. Masam ninyer chayan harim.
Masam ninyer chayan harim.
Three. Ratra ante. At the end of the night.
Three.
Ratra ante.
At the end of the night.
Kapita badara. Fruits and berries. Ashanaha. Eating. Atma vritti.
Just to preserve the body.
Anusarena.
As it was necessary.
Minimum.
Masam.
1 month.
Ninye
passed away.
Acharchayan,
worshipping.
Harim,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
But before I read the translation, I'm going to go back because the previous message connects with this message. So, text 70, no purport. The verse reads, the great Maitreya continued. The king Uttanapada, after being advised by Narada Muni, practically gave up all duties in relation to his kingdom, which was very vast and wide, opulent like the goddess of fortune, and he simply began to think of his son Dhruva. Text 71. Elsewhere, Dhruva Maharaj, having arrived at Madhuvan, took his bath in the river Yamuna and observed fasting in the night with great care and attention. After that, as advised by the great sage Narada, he engaged himself in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The significance of this particular verse is that Dhruva Maharaj acted exactly according to the advice of his spiritual master, the great sage, Narada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also advises that if we want to be successful in our attempt to go back to Godhead, we must very seriously act according to the instruction of the spiritual master. That is the way of perfection. There need be no anxiety over attaining perfection, because if one follows the instruction given by the spiritual master, he is sure to attain perfection. Our only concern should be how to execute the order of the spiritual master. A spiritual master is expert in giving special instructions to each of his disciples, and if the disciple executes the order of the spiritual master, that is the way of his perfection. He said it four times. Then, the translation for text 72, for the first month, Dhruva Maharaj ate only fruits and berries on every third day, only to keep his body and soul together, and in this way, he progressed in his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Emphasis is on what his eating was, but it's side by side with his worshiping the Personality of God. It's not just you eat this and don't eat that and that's your worship. He was chanting his mantra and worshiping, and this was his eating program. Purport. Kapita is a flower which is known in India, Indian vernacular, as Kayeta. We do not find an English equivalent for the name of this flower, but its fruit is generally not acceptable, not accepted by human beings. It is eaten by monkeys in the forest. Dhruva Maharaj, however, accepted such fruits, not for luxurious feasting, but just to keep his body and soul together. The body needs food, but a devotee should not accept foodstuff to satisfy the tongue in sense gratification. It is recommended in Bhagavad Gita that one should accept as much food as necessary to keep the body fit, but one should not eat for luxury. Dhruva Maharaj is an acharya, and by undergoing severe austerities and penances, he teaches us how one should execute devotional service. We must carefully know the process of Dhruva Maharaj's service. How severely he passed his days will be shown in later verses. We should always remember that to become a bona fide devotee of the Lord is not an easy task, but in this age, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it has been made very easy. But if we do not follow even the liberal instruction of Lord Chaitanya, how can we expect to discharge our regular duties in devotional service? It is not possible in this age to follow Dhruva Maharaj in his austerity, but the principles must be followed. We should not disregard the regular principles given by our spiritual master, for they make it easier for the conditioned soul. As far as our ISKCON movement is concerned, we simply ask that one observe the four prohibitive rules, chant 16 rounds, and instead of indulging in luxurious eating for the tongue, simply accept prasad offered to the Lord. This does not mean that with our fasting, the Lord should fast. The Lord should be given foodstuff which is as nice as possible. But we should not make it a point to satisfy our own tongues. As far as possible, we should accept simple foodstuff just to keep the body and soul together to execute devotional service. Paragraph. It is our duty to remember always that in comparison to Dhruva Maharaj, we are insignificant. We cannot do anything like what Dhruva Maharaj did for self-realization, because we are absolutely incompetent to execute such service. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we have been given all concessions possible for this age, so at least we should always remember that neglect of our prescribed duties in devotional service will not make us successful in the mission we have undertaken. It is our duty to follow the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, for he was very determined. Last sentence. We should also be determined to finish our duties in executing devotional service in this life. We should not wait for another life to finish our job. End of purport. Dhruva was heavy, Vyasadeva's description is heavy, and Prabhupada's purport is heavy. So, there's three verses, 70, 71, 72, 70, Uttanapada meditated on his pure devotee son, absorbed, and so, while apparently he was relieved of his anxiety, it wasn't complete because he couldn't even do his duties as king. Fortunately, it was only a short period of time before Dhruva returned. Otherwise, the kingdom would have been a big mess. Then, the next is Dhruva's arrival in Madhuvan. There's a place in Madhuvan, in Vrindavan. Madhuvan is in Vrindavan. So there's a place within that Madhuvan called Dhruvatila. Chakra, you been there? Dhruvatila. It's, most of Vrindavan is just flat. Of course, Govardhan Hill is an exception, and Nandagram and Varsan are their exceptions. But most of Vrindavan is just flat agricultural land. But Dhruvatila is another, tila means hill. So it's a hill. So in the forest, still there's a forest, mostly in the area's agricultural fields, but there's a forested area, and within the forested area there's a hill. You walk up the hill, there's steps, and at the top is where Dhruva underwent his austerity, at Dhruvatila. So he was assigned that place by Narada, so he went there, and it appears he arrived in the evening, and he took his bath in the river Jamuna, and his first program was he observed fasting. And the details of what he was to do fasting-wise and otherwise, it's not described in the previous verses, but the purport here is indicating that he was given specific instructions. This is Satya Yuga, and it's Dhruva Maharaj. We're in Kali Yuga, and we're not Dhruva Maharaj, so we can't imitate. But the principle that's being described here is fixed upon the instructions of Narada. Fixed upon the instructions of Narada. And in the purport, Prabhupada refers to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who comments on this verse, similar to how he comments on 241 Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Budhir, A.K. Hakurunandana, same one focused, and that one focused principle from Bhagavad Gita is the instruction of the spiritual master is the secret to success in spiritual life. Following the instructions of the spiritual master is an open secret. It's the secret to success in spiritual life. By this one thing, success in spiritual life will come. And similarly here, Vishwanath Chakravarti advises that if we want to be successful in our attempt to go back to Godhead, we must very seriously act according to the instruction of the spiritual master. And again, Prabhupada says it four times in the purport. By following, we're sure to achieve perfection. Sometimes he says success, but perfection is the success. As he's saying in the end of the next purport, don't make it our business to go back to Godhead. Don't make it your business to, you know, take two steps and then yawn, become complacent. Go back to Godhead. The the gift of the disciplic succession is that. Receive it. And the key to receiving it is fulfilling, taking the instruction of the spiritual master as one's life and soul is another way that Prabhupada said what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expressed. You can't separate the soul from the body and still have life. That's pretty fundamental. You remove the soul from the body, you don't have life anymore. So similarly, as the soul is the life of our life, the instructions of the spiritual master should be inseparable. That's the meaning. Accept the instructions of the spiritual master as one's life and soul, inseparable from who we are. Circumstances may be this, circumstances may be that, and things are changing, but the instruction is something that we adhere to without variation, it's not circumstantially I can do, but in other circumstances I can't do. Not circumstantial in all circumstances. And then he embellishes a little bit by saying there may be specific instructions. He says a spiritual master is expert in giving special instructions to each of his disciples. So there's general and there's specific. And one who's headed in the right direction, one who has their compass out and they're moving in the right direction, there's the general and the specific, and they're both to be taken in a very personal and serious way. One who does so, this is the way of perfection. And it's both the plus and the minus. The plus is you go back to Godhead. The minus is the unwanted things of material existence, they fade. Their grip on us as conditioned souls slackens. They no longer control our lives. We may be in an atmosphere that's turbulent, but we can remain unaffected by that turbulence just by this one thing. Shraddha shabde visvash kahi sudridha nishchaya, same as presented in that Bhagavad Gita purport. It requires faith, but life requires faith. Breathing, drinking water, walking from point A to point B, everything that we do, even the simplest things, requires some faith in something. So where we repose that which is intrinsic to the soul determines what our destination is going to be. We're moved by faith. So deep inside, the spirit soul placing faith in Krishna's shelter, and the means of achieving Krishna's shelter is through the representative of Krishna, we move with that. That's faith. By this one thing, all other desirable things will be accomplished. So that's the instruction of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Dhruva followed it. He didn't consider anything else. He didn't consider, oh, I'm a little boy. I can't do this. Or whatever one might think is, oh, it's something. I want to play. I'm 5 years old. I'll do it later. Or something. He immediately, as soon as he got there, he started applying the instruction. Then, because the next thing he did was, according to Narada's instruction, control his eating along with his worship, then, at least for the discussion purposes, there are other general and specific points that we should be paying attention to in our spiritual lives, but because it's the topic here is eating, what Dhruva ate, the general message that we're getting in the purport is 16 rounds, 4 regular principles, and control one's eating. It's right in the purport. And instead of indulging in luxurious eating for the tongue, simply accept prasad offered to the Lord. That's not so difficult. Prasad is nice. It's not difficult. So adhere to it. And using the extreme example of Dhruva, there's these kapita fruits. I don't know what a kapita fruit is, but it's monkey food. Or there's certain, I saw a picture one time, a gorilla eating this nut that, you know, you would break your teeth on. But, you know, it's yummy for the gorilla. Somehow they're able to break the nut and eat what's inside. And something like that was the kapita fruit. And Dhruva didn't mind. Who knows, maybe he soaked it or whatever it is. But, you know, otherwise not considered human food. He accepted that because that was what was there in the jungle, in the forest. And berries. So something that's otherwise not edible, that became his sustenance. And interesting, for whatever the reason, it's said twice at the beginning of the verse, at the end of the night, in the end of the third night, and then again at the end of the third night, he would take kapita fruits and some berries. Probably not a whole lot of them. So, that's Dhruva, and then what about us? Just take prasadam. if one who lives in the temple, it's easy. Let's just walk over to the prasadam hall. There's always prasadam. And having spent so many years just living in temples, it's easy. And for those who don't live in a temple, there's so many things that people do that aren't, it's not so easy. So just resist the temptation or the habit or whatever. It's just, the answer is no thank you. So don't let the mind entertain something. Or, you know, I suppose devotees in the temple can also go here and go there. They don't serve such and such, and out of curiosity go here, go there. It's not what one should do. I was thinking, just discussing this verse, you can take it even further. Particularly during Hare Kesha's time in Europe, I remember for about 2 years they were into this thing, in the age of Kali nothing is pure. Like, some of them visited in New York, devotees from his zone. They had gone to Greenland to distribute books in Greenland, in whatever the language is in Greenland. They like printed books, just like for a BBT special, and then for some reason they came from Greenland to New York. And, you know, every class, different persons, every class was hammering on nothing in Kali Yuga is pure. And speaking about, you know, how even tomato sauce that you buy in cans, it's yucky. And they were describing, you know, the yucky stuff that's in the tomato sauce that you buy in cans. And so they were saying, as much as possible, because it's going to be offered to Krishna, we should make our own tomato sauce and, you know, buy, get tomatoes, but even getting tomatoes, the way that they're grown is also yucky. And, you know, but then there was this, and it's nice to make the pizza crust, make take your own grain and grind the grain and make your own flour and take the tomatoes and bake the tomatoes down and make your pizza and, you know, cheese and, you know, the whole, it's just like the Bhagavatam class was filled with how to make prasadam that isn't nasty. I mean, if what's offered to Krishna is not nasty, because you want to offer something that's pure and you can't get something pure in the age of Kali. It was like, that was a theme. There's merit without being like excessive or compulsive or something. There's merit to thinking of what should be offered to Krishna should be pure. And as devotees, I don't want to get too much into it, but for sake of convenience, one may buy processed food, packaged this and that. I remember very clearly the years of traveling Sankirtan. I'm sure Chakri remembers these days. One of the staples that we had was granola. It wasn't granola that you went out and bought. You got, you know, the wheat and the different kinds of seeds and we prepared granola. And we had these buckets of granola, and that was our breakfast. There was no question of going and buy Cheerios or, you know, something from the store. We just wouldn't do it. It wasn't something we even think of. And that's, you know, devotees that live in the temple and brahmacharis and, you know, the Haribol brahmacharis. But householders can also keep some standard that it's just go in the direction of which is offered to Krishna, something that's pure. And then it doesn't have to be, as it said, it doesn't have to be fancy. We want to offer nice things to Krishna, so that's nice. But because we're only taking prasad, whatever is offered to Krishna is something that, I mean, it has to be nice, but at the same time, simple for us. But he takes something nice, so he offers something nice, and who's going to take it? Krishna shouldn't undergo austerities. We should undergo austerities. And we take only prasad. So that's offered to Krishna. Anyway, it's a little tricky. But by and large, the things that we have for as our foodstuffs, it's several times presented. As far as possible, we should accept simple foodstuff. And then quantity, just to keep body and soul together, to execute devotional service. We don't have to eat kapita fruits, but something simple. And it's nice. It's simple is nice. Simple promotes the quality of goodness. And something that's very rich and opulent, you know, it may get the kids going or something, but, you know, it's not good for promoting the quality of goodness. Often it's also not good for promoting good health, but promote the quality of goodness. That's what the controlling of the tongue does. Keeping regularly, just keeping simple food, it doesn't have the buzz, it doesn't have the passion tingle, but it long term it promotes the quality of goodness. And that assists in the devotional worship of the personality of Godhead. The opposite way of saying, as Prabhupada says, that we should not make it a point to satisfy our own tongues. One of the ways to make it a point to not satisfy our own tongues is keep things simple. In general, it's a quality of goodness, simplicity, rather than complexity. Simple. You accept what you need, like, you know, furniture and stuff. You know, gadgets and gizmos and those kinds of things. Just keep it simple. Something that that's useful for your service, that's fine. And keep it simple. That's the instruction that we're receiving. And then the last paragraph is humility and determination. So, humility. Compare ourselves to Dhruva Maharaj. How significant are we?
Less.
Really tiny. Really small. And it's good to remember, because the tendency for pride is really strong, even, you know, a little something. Oh, I've a little something. The tendency to become proud is there. The enjoyer of our little success in spiritual life. I prepared a very nice feast. Or something. I sang a nice kirtan. I dressed the deities very nicely. I did something. And, you know, whether it's our own sense of prestige or wishing to have others honor and recognize that which we've done, something like that, it takes away from pure devotion, that's for sure. It covers one's consciousness in false ego, even in the effort of doing devotional service. So we don't have to beat ourselves up and be that kind of way, but keeping oneself very simple and humble and recognizing someone who's really great, look at Dhruva Maharaj. And so I'm just doing some simple something. Just came across some scriptural example like this where one devotee was always just in a humble position in the background. And he was Kolavichar Sridhar because he was so much loved by Lord Chaitanya, and yet he held himself in such an insignificant way. But it was that simplicity and purity. Yeah, that's the person. After there's a big episode in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is after this one full year of kirtan at the house of Srivas Thakur, and so much is written about that, the kirtans at the house of Srivas. One year later, this event came where the people in Navadvipa, particularly the brahmanas, were envious. Saying, they went and complained to the Qazi. It wasn't just like, you know, Muslims went and complained to the Qazi. The brahmins went and complained to the Qazi. These followers of Nimai Pandit, they're spoiling our religion. It's not in our religious teachings to do screaming and wailing and carrying on and dancing and all night long, and besides disturbing our sleep, it's disturbing our religion. And people are getting on board with this disturbance of religion in the name of religion, and you're the Qazi, do something. They were just envious because so many people weren't becoming their customers for their yajnas anymore. So they went and complained, and then the Qazi sent his people to, you know, stop, and then they didn't stop. So he personally came and broke the mridanga and said, if you continue this, I'll convert you all into Muslims. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard And immediately the next day, the civil disobedience movement began, even before, long before Martin Luther King. And thousands of people followed Lord Chaitanya in a day's notice. They didn't send text messages or putting something on Facebook or anything like that. It's just, he was so powerful. It's one of the opulences of the personality of Godhead, is his fame. He was young. He was in his, like 20 years old. But thousands, and they went from marketplace to marketplace to marketplace. Huge kirtan in defiance of the Kazi. And it went on all day long, up until the night. And at night, then they had torches, so they could see where they were going, because they weren't streetlights. And they came, thousands of angry Bengalis, at the house of Chand Kazi. He was afraid for his life. I would be too, if he'd be angry Bengalis. Thousands of them. Chaitanya Bhagavat says he hid under his bed. And Mahaprabhu just sat peacefully under his window. And the Bengalis were going, rah, 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 you know, get the Kazi, burn his house down, string him up. So he didn't want to come down. But Chaitanya sent a messenger saying, please invite my uncle to come down. Spoken like that, you're like my uncle, because of the village relationship. You're like my father's brother, and I've come to your home, and you don't even come to receive me. What kind of hospitality? It's those people around you. They won't hurt you. I've told them that don't do anything. Let's have some nice exchange. So they had some exchange, and in the course of the exchange, the Kazi concluded, from this day forward, under my rule, and every successive descendant of mine who becomes the Kazi in this land, the chanting of the holy name shall not be stopped. You're free to chant Hare Krishna. And it was at night. It was at night. So at night, from Chand Kazi's house, Lord Chaitanya went to Kolamitra Shridhar's house. So those of you who have been to Mayapur, you know the little bit that to train. Where Chand Kazi's house is, it's like there's a bend in the road and then it goes straight again. And there's all those shops, like a little market area. And in the midst of those shops is the tree under which Lord Chaitanya sat waiting for Chand Kazi to come, and the palace of Chand Kazi was right behind that. The house of Chand Kazi, the palace of Chand Kazi. And so, to go from that place to Kolavichar Sridhar's place at night, it's a distance. Not terrible distance, but it's some distance. And he went right after all of that, all day long, kirtan, he went to Kolavichar Sridhar's house to take rest, because he was tired, transcendentally tired. And then Kolavichar Sridhar came and was so pleased to see Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya asked him for some water. I'm thirsty. And Kolavichar Sridhar didn't have a Bisleri bottle, or, he didn't have... He didn't have something available. But so Lord Chaitanya then spotted this broken, discarded, useless iron pot. And Lord Chaitanya immediately went to grab the pot and started drinking from the pot. And Kolavichar Sridhar was crying, saying, please don't. This is useless. It's not fit for you. It's okay for me, but it's not fit for you. And you're destroying me. My religious principles will be finished. That's all that I have. My religious principles. But Lord Chaitanya's love for Kolavichar Sridhar was such that as simple and as unobtrusive and humble and non-conspicuous as was Kulavichar Shridhar. That's the place that he went. He could have gone to any one of his other places, any of these, you know, up front, big devotees. He went to Kulavichar Shridhar's place. And there are devotees that we know in ISKCON. That's the kind of devotee they are. They do tons and tons. I could name some names. Tons of service. They're always in the background. You never hear their name. You never see their... But they're there. There's some service. They're there. And that's nice. Not looking for some recognition. Looking for, hey, I want a title. I want a position. I want people to say, you know, you did it good. And those kinds of things, in one sense, they're just human, it's just natural. But from the position of pure devotion, it's not something that one needs. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Offer respects to everyone else without any expectation of respect in return. That's not possible for someone who's on the material platform. They offer respect, they're expecting. And if they don't get, they're bent out of shape. You know, whether it's, you know, in a marriage or in a friendship or in a community or whatever the thing is, There's all these expectations about I'm going to do this and I'm going to get that. It's the fruitive mentality program. And pure devotion is free from that. Dhruva wasn't doing this so he could get some applause or become famous. He was becoming famous even while he was a little boy living in the forest. Narada said, he's already famous. But it wasn't for fame. It was to achieve the association of the Personality of Godhead. So, in this final paragraph, Prabhupada is speaking about finishing our business. One lifetime. A nice little prayer. You can maybe remember this from time to time. Prabhupada was paraphrasing. My dear Lord Krishna, for so many lifetimes, I have acted independently from you and suffered terribly. This one lifetime, I simply dedicate unto you. I will not budge an inch for this whole lifetime, for the lotus feet of you, my Lord Krishna. I will neglect my mind, who has been ruling during all those lifetimes that I've been neglecting you. I will neglect my mind. I will control my senses and just fix myself at your lotus feet. Just this one lifetime. Lifetime seems like a long time, but in the spans of how many lifetimes we've undergone, it's not so long. And by this one lifetime, let me finish up my business, which is what Prabhupada is saying here. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we have been given all concessions possible for this age. So, at least, we should always remember that neglect of our prescribed duties and devotional service will not make us successful in the mission we have undertaken. That's the negative. Here's the positive. It is our duty to follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, for he was very determined. We should also be determined to finish our duties. And executing devotional service in this life, we should not wait for another life to finish our job. Strong. Any discussion? Yes.
My question is regarding the return of mission.
Regarding the what? Speak slower.
Determination.
Determination. Yeah.
So, with setting up the goal and then you try to reach the goal with having a strong determination. So, and in that case, you feel strong connection to Krishna. And if some situation suddenly pops up, and then you have to relax with the determination.
You have to do what?
You have to relax or
yes.
loosen the
yeah, okay.
And then in that case, you get a feeling, but you still have strong faith of thing,
okay.
But you will get a feeling that you lose that strong connection.
Why?
To Krishna.
Why? Why?
Is that feeling on the side of ignorance?
Yeah. Well, what's wanted is to make the connection strong, and it may be that intensity makes the connection strong. It may be that externally relaxed, internally very focused is the formula. It's exactly what Lord Chaitanya said to Raghunath Das Goswami. Don't be a monkey renunciate. That's saying, I'm illustrating a principle. Return to your home. Live in family life. It's not like, you know, be complacent, but act normal. And internally be detached. Fix your mind upon the goal. Externally be relaxed, normal. Internally be fixed upon the goal. And surely in the course of time, but the Lord will make an arrangement for you to achieve the goal of life. Some persons have to be in overdrive all the time, thinking, you know, that's what intensity is. And sometimes that's not what intensity is. That's the mode of passion. Sometimes intensity externally is also required. Sometimes, you know, being in a more moderate mode is required. Internally, intensity, focus must be there. But overdrive all the time isn't the requirement. Now, take the life of our great acharyas. They were absorbed. They take the life of Srila Prabhupada, absorbed. What he did? I was having a discussion yesterday with Malati, not yesterday, a few days ago. And she was describing, she's approaching 70. And then thinking what it's like to be in a body that's 70. And so much is reduced, the capacity of the body. And then thinking, but that's when Prabhupada came to America. And the schedule that Prabhupada kept was such that it took 3 20-year-old young, healthy, strong assistants just to keep up with him. So he wasn't casual or lax, but it wasn't artificial either. It wasn't overdrive. It was the intensity of his devotional service, and it came out in that way. So if there's a particular, whatever it is, reason, circumstance, or consideration, let me take a more moderate pace, that's fine. Internally strong, externally, you know, moving along at a pace that's for the circumstance appropriate. You don't lose your Krishna consciousness by that. Your Krishna consciousness becomes more internal. And that's nice. Being able to move between one and the other is also nice. It's like some people, unless they're in some crisis, they're not happy. So they create a crisis. Then, you know, they're not deliberately thinking, I mean, they just, that's the mode in which they work, crisis mode. It's unhealthy. It's unwholesome. It's not Krishna consciousness. So there are times to be, you know, in the fast lane. There are times to be, you know, in a more moderate pace. And, you know, circumstances should indicate or dictate whether it's this or whether it's that. Like, you know, our devotee students here that have exams coming up, you know, they're going to have to be in, you know, in that really intense position when the exams are happening, or your daughter with exams, really focused. I just went through one of those periods, came back from the Mayapur Yatra and a little, and then jumped into this, you know, 12 sessions of intense philosophy of the foundation messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Whew, that was intense. I just didn't do anything else. Anybody wanted to talk, I said, later. Anybody wanted me to, you know, set my attention for something, it's later. Because I'm only going to do one thing. So, it was nice. And that's over, and I'm doing other things. But so there's times to be like that, and times to be more relaxed. Doesn't change your Krishna consciousness. It's just a different circumstance for serving Krishna. Like Dhruva came back. After this intensity, he went back to the palace. And we don't have any indication that every 3 days he ate kapita fruits and berries. Or the other thing, wait till you hear the other months. There was a time for this and a time for that. And he was able to move through those different situations. So, continue.
My thought is you talked about the humility. So I was just remembering Haridas Thakur, not going inside the temple and wanting to chant outside. That is falls on.
Yeah. So, Rupa and Sanatan, similarly. But specifically, we speak about Haridas, but Rupa and Sanatan also. They sat by the Siddhapakul tree and saw the chakra on top of the temple. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And there are other ways of also manifesting humility. Anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To oneself, we shouldn't expect any appreciation, glorification. But when we are living amongst the devotees, if we have responsibility to encourage, so in that case, we may, it's required to always appreciate.
Sure.
Devotees.
Sure. So there's a conflict, isn't it? Those devotees who were appropriately honoring. There's this other thing that says, you know, one should not accept honor. Or at least one should not desire to receive honor. So, you know, that makes people feel uncomfortable. But we do it anyways. Because it's a duty to do so. So there are those, and therefore that's where humility comes in. It doesn't go to the person, it goes to the person behind the person, you know, the spiritual master. Or it goes to Krishna, because Krishna empowered that devotee to do this something. Like Prabhupada would do, you know, what's the credit? It's my spiritual master. Like that. So it's part of our culture to honor everyone. It is part of our teaching to not accept honor. So the answer to the not accept honor part is, did it become transparent and it goes to the worthy one? And so one maintains that transparency by humility. Go ahead.
Like, for the cooks in the temple.
Ah.
You know, how to, you know, like we have to give opulent, nice, the best offering to Krishna. At the same time, who is going to eat after that is the devotees, and for their health, we have to be, you know, conscious, you know, what, like in small temple in here, we offer the food and that's what everyone takes. But like some other temples, when they are big, there is devotee kitchen separately and, offering for the Lord is separately. So it's like a kind of how to make the...
Somewhere in between. My experience is the deity offerings in a small temple, not only this temple, they're not opulent like the deity offerings in a large temple that has a separate deity kitchen. They're general offerings in a small temple. They're not, you know, this and that and the other thing and opulent from the deity kitchen. And then there's the other kitchen that's for everybody. And then the deity kitchen becomes Mahaprasad. They have like in Mayapur, Mahaprasad stall. And there's usually a nice line at the Mahaprasad stall. So that's the solution. It's nice, and you know the ingredients should be quality, and the consciousness and the cleanliness in circumstances in which the prasad, the bhoga is prepared before it's offered, should be, you know, first class. And then, but the items themselves can be in this moderate range because, you know, we're not on the Dhruva Maharaj platform. We like nice prasad, and we should prepare nice prasadam. It's like this edge of, you know, what you should eat simple and make opulent offerings. Like when we go to places for our GBC meetings, they have these snacks, and the snacks are like, you know, if you ate what's on those tables, you'd be on the floor. Anyway.
We also have to cook ingi for the deities, or
you have to cook which?
All the offerings should be cooked in ghee. Is it like?
Well, I'm not going to set a management policy sitting here giving class. I'm not going to do that. Different temples have different policies, and I'm not going to go into that territory of setting policies. If the temple can do that, that's ideal. And sometimes some preparations are in ghee and some are not in ghee. And so different temples have different standards. Something else. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Gita.